This podcast is brought to you by our Father's Day special. Get Dad something he'll love. Get him a Buy American, Support America t-shirt. If you buy today, you get one of Howie's awesome books for free. Go to HowieCarShow.com and click the banner.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Car Show.
Especially in his age group and in his, shall we say, weight group, what is morbidly obese.
Oh, I don't respond to her. I think she's a waste of time.
A few moments later.
Pelosi is a sick woman. She's got a lot of problems, a lot of mental problems.
You asking me about the appropriateness of the actions of this president of the United States? He comes in with doggy do on his shoes.
Oh, it's all right. I'm sure that we can handle this situation maturely, just like the responsible adults that we are. Isn't that right, Mr. Poopy Pants?
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Oh, son of a bitch. You got fired.
Yesterday, I met with the general prosecutor, Soto.
Yeah.
And despite of the fact that we didn't have any corruption charges, he bring me the written statement of his resignation.
Great.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
I am prepared to do a public signing of the commitment for the $1 billion. Again, I'm not suggesting that that's what you want or don't want.
Listen carefully and watch me wink as I speak, okay?
I'm just suggesting that that's what we're prepared to do.
Unchained and unstoppable.
We're going to create a new bio-based multi-manufacturing job.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. The insurrection against the police state tactics of this current administration in Boston is picking up steam. I think there's a lot of blowback. I think that's why the governor has been MIA to a certain degree ever since his pathetic press conference with Pay to Play on Monday. And there are people that are reacting, that are opening up anyway. And in many states, the people that are sort of leading it are, some places they're the barbers or restaurants. In other places, it's the gyms, like in New Jersey. And now a gym has reopened in Massachusetts, and it's the Prime Fitness in Oxford, which is in Worcester County, which is the bailiwick of pay-to-play Polito, the lieutenant governor. And the gym is run and owned by David Blondin, and he's on the line with us now. David, thanks for being with us.
Yes, of course.
And thanks for doing the right thing. What's your legal status right now? And is Prime Fitness open?
We are still open. We have been open since Monday. Full parking lot both yesterday and today, which is good. But I got a fine today for $300, and they made it out to the wrong address.
Now, was this delivered by this person, Thomas Purcell, from the Oxford Board of Health?
It was.
I saw his picture on Turtle Boy Sports, and his Turtle Boy described him as looking like a pork roll.
Yeah, so he actually came in with a mask today because we called him out on that. So there's actually
Yesterday he was. They got pictures on Turtle Boy. This guy, you know, he's enforcing the cootie regulations to prevent the spread of the virus, and he shows up without a mask, and he weighs 300 pounds.
Yeah,
he looks like he ought to be working out in your gym. Why don't you give him a complimentary membership, and maybe he won't show up with another citation for you tomorrow.
Honestly, I wonder if that would work. Honestly.
and then I was reading the story today in the Herald, and I saw the town manager, his name Jennifer Callahan, and I said, "Geez, that name." kind of rings a vague bell in my mind. And then I realized she's a former hack state representative.
Oh.
So she lost. She ran for the Senate, I think, the state Senate against Ryan Fatman. She lost. So she obviously couldn't get a real job like running a gym. Another one that she ought to be in a gym. And so they gave her this hack job as town manager, and now she thinks she's the queen of the queen of the May. So what are you gonna do? What are they telling you? I mean, what are your customers telling you, your clients?
All my customers, honestly, gyms from all over the world, they're all supporting me 100%. Tell me that, you know, don't step down, keep going. We're over $10,000 in donations so far since of yesterday.
Oh, that's great. So where can people go if they, you got a GoFundMe page?
So we have a GoFundMe page. It's under Reopening Gyms. It should be right under there to find it.
Yeah. And has the pork roll or the former Solon told you that they're going to come after you harder? Are they going to try to get a criminal complaint against you or anything like that?
Honestly, I think what they're going to try to do is they're trying to scare me, honestly, because I know for a fact that they cannot do anything to me.
You mean it criminally?
Criminally, right. Because as soon as it goes to federal court, they'll drop everything.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, the other, you know, you have two options, I think, Dave Mlondon. One is to go to federal court, like the gun shops did, like the churches were going to do. The other option is just hire a lobbyist, and then you'll be open like the day later. I don't know if you got that kind of money, but you know, if you and a bunch of gyms get together, I mean, spread around some cash, and everything will open up, just like with the golf courses, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I actually spoke with her, the golf course owner, yesterday. She was very nice.
I can give you the name of the guy. He used to be a Boston City Councilor. He used to be a district attorney. I mean, there's nothing illegal about hiring a lobbyist. You know, I mean, again, it's pay to play, right?
Right. Absolutely. I agree.
So what made you decide to be the first person to sort of step out in this field of health clubs?
Honestly, I didn't see anybody else in Massachusetts that was willing to step up. A lot of gyms, unfortunately, are chain gyms, and you guys have some smaller gyms, and I know they, you know, it's just, I didn't see anybody else doing it, and, you know, we went past, you know, 8 weeks, you know, it was 2 months, and enough is enough. You know, business has got to start reopening again.
So now, you took in no money for how long? For eight weeks, 10 weeks? How long?
8 weeks, a lost revenue of about $100,000.
And so you, of course, had to continue paying your rent, right?
So luckily I got funded through the PPP, but that only covers, you know, your rent, your utilities, and your payroll. So my employees were able to get paid, and I was able to pay my rent. But, you know, as of this week's payroll, it's gone. You know, it's what am I supposed to do now?
Right. So did anyone advise you not to do it, like your lawyer or members of your family or anybody like that?
No, my lawyer said, let's, I'm right behind you. Let's go.
And if you have to, you go to federal court.
Absolutely. Yep. I'll do whatever it takes.
Have you spoken to the former state rep who now has a hack job at town hall?
No, I think the town already didn't like me to begin with, to be honest with you. So
why?
So when I opened this building, it was a big abandoned building. They gave me so much crap for opening this thing, ripping things apart. I tore apart the whole building. And then when it's done and they see the parking lot full, they leave me alone.
Yeah, I mean, why would they be opposed to taking an abandoned building and making it into a going business? They got to get more tax revenue that way than having an abandoned warehouse or whatever it was, right?
Right, and they're trying to whack me for everything, you know, like codes here and codes there, and just like it was insane.
But once
it was all said and done, and the business was going, they just gave up and they just stopped coming in.
And how do you get along with this guy, Purcell, the fat guy from the Board of Health?
He's new, actually. So that was probably only the second time I met him was this week. Mm-hmm.
Well, if they got an all-you-can-eat, buffet in Oxford, you know, when the restaurants reopen, you'll be seeing them there all the time, I dare say. I'm telling you, I think you ought to give that guy a membership, you know?
I know.
He might be there about 12 hours a day, though. You know, that's the thing.
It really didn't look good all over social media with the video up there. And everyone commented the same thing that you're saying, you know. This guy's a health inspector.
I think this is the MO across the state, though, Dave. You know, I think more health inspectors look like him than like, I don't know, somebody who's in any kind of physical shape.
Right. And I'm not saying you got to be in, you know, tip-top shape, but come on.
Right. Someone says, so a fat woman who lost to Ryan Fatman, who is not fat, is supporting a fat man from the Board of Health who is fat. You can't make this stuff up.
Oh, man.
I don't want to get you in any more trouble, Dave, I don't think you're in any trouble. You don't sound like you're in any trouble. No. You don't sound too worried to me.
No, I sound pretty honestly with the people that I have behind me, and you know, I've had lawyers reach out to me, you know, pro bono work and stuff like that. And you know, even if I tell them I already have a lawyer, and they say, you know, just know you will win. You know, you will not lose this.
Yeah. So have you heard from any more gym operators today?
I did. So actually, I'll put this out there today for these guys. Help them out. Let me get the name for you. A gym in Mass actually did open today. It is Body Armor in, let's see, I don't know. There's another gym in Massachusetts I know opened today that they might have took the post down, but they came to try to shut him down, and he said no, and they kept the doors open.
That's good. Well, I hope I hope people will take up in your wake. And take up your cue. And so give us the address again if people want to contribute to your GoFundMe page.
So just go to GoFundMe and just look for Reopening Gyms, and you should find it right on there. Also on the Prime Nutrition page, as well as my Facebook page, it's on there as well.
And if you want to, if you live in Worcester County in the Oxford area, you can join up as a member of Prime Fitness, right?
Yes. Right now, we're only accepting members due to this whole thing, obviously. Once things chill out, then of course. But I'm keeping it to members only so I can limit the flow of people coming through.
Okay. David Blondin, thanks for being with us. And tomorrow when the health inspector, Mr. Purcell, arrives, maybe you should have a couple of donuts ready for him.
I will do that.
All right. Thanks, David Blondin from Prime Fitness in Oxford. 844-500-4240. You got to see these pictures of this guy. I mean, so much of that. I mean, they're ruining the economy, but you got to laugh because some of this stuff is like out of Central Casting or maybe a Mel Brooks or a Monty Python movie. I mean, it's just, yeah, we're going to have a health inspector. He weighs 300 pounds. That's the way it goes. I'm Howie Carr.
Keep it here, chumps. More Howie Carr after this.
Hi, this is Val from Longmeadow, Mass.
Hi, this is Tony and Pietra from Havel, Massachusetts.
This is Murnie in Fairfax County, Virginia, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
844-500-4242. Orion Metal Exchange is the only precious metals company that I trust. Give them a call today to get a free, no-obligation investment guide about protecting your future with an enduring investment in gold and silver. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain, including peace of mind, by calling now. Call them today at 800-912-2300. And with Orion, you'll get more metal for your money. Call 800-912-2300. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Will you go to a restaurant if you have to wear a mask while you're not eating?
No, I won't go.
82% say they won't go either.
All right. 844-500-4242. 42. By the way, we sold out very quickly of the 110 grill, the extra gift certificates that we had. But, you know, stay tuned. We'll have more of all kinds of great cheap bastard deals. And we thank 110 Grill and Robert Walker. 844-500-4242. We haven't taken many calls today. Let's take a few. Bob, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, Howie. Bob on the Cape. I just spoke with Grace, and a few minutes ago, well, about an hour ago, I should say, actually, I ordered two holsters for a couple of my guns from a company called Alabama Holsters down near Mobile, Alabama. Check them out on the web. But you know what the guy said to me? He said, what? Oh, you're up in Massachusetts. We listen to Howie Carr all the time in the shop, and we love Grace Curley.
What is the name of the company?
Alabama Holsters.
Hey, Alabama Holsters. We love having y'all listening and watching the show. I appreciate that, and, Bob. That's great.
Yeah, they're down near the Gulf of Mexico, down there near Mobile, Alabama. They're a great company. I've gotten some stuff from them in the past, but the guy was like, hey, I love Allie Carr. We listen to him all the time here in the shop, and we love Grace. And the other thing is I spoke with your last guest, David, last night, and told him that I was supporting him. And I also called the Oxford Police Department and spoke with them. And I asked them to stand down and not support these unconstitutional edicts against people like David. And David told me, he's like, we need more people like you to support us.
Yeah, I don't think the cops are going to bother him. I don't think the cops like this police state tactics that are going on one little bit. I mean, do you think the cops need to hassle legitimate people? Businessmen who are paying their taxes?
Yeah, you know? And trying to feed their families? Forget about
right.
it. So anyway, the guys at Alabama Holsters could be one of your sponsors, or you could promote them. But they gave a shout-out to you today, and it was completely unexpected as I was ordering my holsters, and they said that they really love Grace and Howie Carr.
Great. Thank you, Bob. Thanks for giving us that information. Grace is becoming famous. Mr. Garcia, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Mr. Garcia.
Hello. Hi. How you doing, Howie? This is Mr. Garcia in Newark. I want to ask you a question because the hospital, I spoke to a nurse this morning. He told me the hospital, she worked in the fourth floor, and normally the fourth floor had 50 patients. Right now, we had 21 patients in the hospital dropping down because the COVID-19. I want to ask you a question. Why are you hiking the number every time? And I don't know what the hell going on.
I know. Does anybody believe these numbers that they're coming up with? Today, someone just told me that they had a higher count in Worcester, and they said it was because there was a backlog. What does that mean? What does a backlog of deaths mean? And again, you got these coroners all over the country, these county coroners. They're going on to the daily updates that the state makes, and they're reading that there's a COVID-19 fatality in their county, and they know it's not true because they see all the death certificates. This has happened in Pennsylvania. It's happened in Colorado. I'm sure it's happened in other states. They're just making it up. I think I told you the other day I was talking to a nurse in Palm Beach, and she said that she has a friend that works up in New Haven at the Yale Medical Center, and there was somebody who was brought in there, had been hit by a truck, and they put him down for COVID-19. You know, I guess if you have any trace of it in your blood, they'll put you down as COVID-19, even though 98% of the people who get COVID-19 or who test positive don't die of it. But if you get hit by a truck or you drink yourself to death or you get a bad dose of fentanyl, you're going to be listed as a COVID-19 victim.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studio.
You know, I had the job of getting out $84 billion in 18 months in the Recovery Act. We had an inspector general that I work with once a week to look at everything we did, exactly where the money went, who got the money, who was responsible for it, and how it was being spent.
So we kept an eye on it.
He said he was in charge of that, keeping an eye on it, but he thought it was $84 billion. It was actually $800 billion. And then there's he wants a food program, but there's a slight problem with that, too, because the program's already been enacted, cut three.
And we got it. And look, he could have ordered the president could have ordered the government to buy food from farmers and send it to food banks. But he failed to step up.
Didn't he just announce that a few days ago? It was in the headlines, Joe. Don't you get the paper delivered to the basement? Or
the fact is that I don't remember.
It's like that stupid reporter, what's her name, from the CBS yesterday. What are you going to do for the 36 million Americans who've lost their jobs? And he'd announced the plan, what, a month ago? Okay, Biden is referring to his notes at the virtual town hall, cut eight.
And there's a lot we can do that related to what has already been passed with small businesses that the president just hasn't done. And look, the combination of failing to move quickly.
Can we quote you on that, Mr. Vice President? Let's talk about what you would do, cut seven.
And we're going to create a new bio-based multi-manufacturing job environment to deal farmers in on the benefits of a changing economy.
A changing economy. Jay from Maine, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Jay.
Hi, Howie. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to relate the fact that I was able to get a haircut after 10 weeks. But the interesting thing was I had to go in after signing a sign-up sheet and being called in by the barber, and then had to answer questions. Had I been exposed to the coronavirus? Was I suffering any symptoms? And had I gone out of state? Well, I work in New Hampshire every day of the week. So, yes, I did go out of state. But you know what the barber said? He said, so the answer is no, because I'm going to cut your hair. And then he locked the door and cut my hair.
You know, Jay, isn't this a lot like what you read in history books about Prohibition? When you pass stupid laws, people begin to break those laws. And pretty soon, they get in the habit of breaking other laws. It's kind of a recurring theme in history, isn't it?
Absolutely. You can't keep a good man down. And this barber of mine is a good man.
Yeah. I'm glad you got a haircut, Jay. And you know, what's the death toll up to in Maine now? 70?
Something like that.
The whole state is in lockdown the third month of lockdown for 70 deaths. I wonder how many people have died of opioid overdoses in that same time frame. Probably more than 70, I'm going to guess.
Yes, a lot more. And we see the terrible signs, you know, the electronic signs on the highway, emergency order, shelter at home, save lives, stay at home, you know, absolutely crazy.
I know. Thanks for the call, Jay. Glad you got a haircut. 844-500-4242. There's a big salon down here, and it was supposedly closed for, you know, I don't know, 6 weeks or whatever it was that it was shut down here. And all they did was they took garbage bags and put them up in the front window. They were still open. And then the lockdown ended. The only difference was they just took down the garbage bags off the front windows. That's all. It's like a lot of the most popular bars in New York City into the 60s and even into the 60s, maybe not the 70s, were all speakeasies. As soon as it became legal, they just opened legally. It's the same thing. This doesn't work. See, the thing is, as onerous as these ridiculous regulations are, they're not going to work. You know, the only people that are at risk are people that need these licenses, you know, and they're going to get, and I hate to say it, they're going to get shaken down. you know, whether it's legally through hiring lobbyists or having to go to court, or whether it's just going to be some crooked health inspector or some crooked, you know, town official shaking somebody down and saying he'll look the other way. I mean, you know this is going to happen. I said in my column today, if I were Andrew Lelling, the U.S. attorney in Boston, I would be impaneling a grand jury on spec. This is going to be like shooting fish in a barrel. This is what happened with the marijuana licenses when they started letting the mayors give them out. You saw what happened in Fall River. What happened in Boston over and over again with building permits and inspections? Yeah, you saw it. The probation department, the state police, the registry of motor vehicles. This state is crooked and incompetent. They can't handle this. This is a playbook for maximum corruption, and it's all BS. That's why people don't mind violating the laws, because they know it's all BS. He went down. Tal Duvall and Pay to Play went down to Braintree today to this factory, Simmons Industries, and supposedly they've recalibrated and they're making some kind of not stuff that's necessary. So they spoke about the need to wear masks while, of course, not wearing masks, and the need to social distance while they weren't social distancing. And then they were joined by the president of the company, a guy named Tim O'Keefe. Tim O'Keefe, Simmons Industries in Braintree. I looked him up. He lives in Hingham. Do you know where I looked him up? Office of Campaign and Political Finance. He actually didn't give all that much. How much do you think he gave to Tal Duvall, Taylor?
500.
You got it.
Wow.
Yeah, that's not much. You know, he got a good deal. The guy at the Holyoke Soldiers Home, he had to pay $1,950 to get his job. David, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, David.
Hey, Howie, thank you for taking my call. Hey, Howie, I'm not talking Obama-type community organizing, but do you see a real genesis of civil disobedience? And what signs should I be looking for? I mean, you've got the knowledge and the experience. What are the signs of a real genesis of civil disobedience, you know?
Well, I mean, you're seeing it, aren't you? I mean, we just talked to that guy, David Blondin. I mean, you know, and again, he's just acting as a rational human being. But that's civil disobedience in this kind of police state that we find ourselves in.
I think it's got to be, I mean, it's almost like we've got to be in front of Tal Duvall's house every day, beating drums 24 hours a day. I mean, I don't know what it takes. You know?
Listen, he announced these preposterous measures on Monday, and yesterday he was MIA. He was taking a lot of heat. He's not. This is not going over well. And down on the Cape, they're talking about, you know, some boards of selectmen are saying, well, we need a release from these idiotic regulations that Pay to Play came up with. And by the way, do you know what Pay to Play's family? You know what business they're in? They're in the construction industry. Did you see the construction industry was the first one to be freed up? What a coincidence, huh? What a coincidence! Just like the nursing homes, Tal Duvall whips through a bill last month to cap the civil liability for all the deaths in the nursing homes. Right after the nursing homes, over the last few years, have been giving him $52,000, $47,000 to the House Speaker who shepherded the bill through the legislature, $32,000 to Pay to Play Polito. You think everything's on the level? Hell no. Thanks, David. Mike, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Mike.
Howie, I believe that there's little or no scientific proof to base the current restrictions of the shutdown on.
I agree.
The restrictions are all based on somebody's opinion, not real facts, and we don't get any facts.
No, we don't. There was an interesting story today out of Britain. The guy went over the numbers here. I'm just looking up the stories here. Where is it? Okay, I've got it. This is from the UK. You know, that's where Neil Ferguson was from, and they said there were going to be 500,000 casualties. 95%, this is from something called The Critic, 95% of victims dying with COVID-19 have serious pre-existing conditions, not just background illnesses, but severe enough to be mentioned as causes of death on death certificates. The most prevalent are dementia and diabetes, a quarter of cases each, hypertension, a fifth, and serious lung, kidney, or heart disease, around a sixth each. In both the UK and Italy, the average victim had three comorbidities, three or more of those things, in other words, severe enough to be listed as the cause of death on a certificate. Again, this is from The Critic in the UK. With no serious pre-existing conditions, the youngish and healthy are far more likely to be hit by lightning than to die of COVID-19. There were 49 people hit by lightning last year in the UK, and 33 people have died of COVID in England under the age of 40, only three under the age of 19. Among healthy under 60s, 253 people have died of COVID-19 in English hospitals. This compares to 400 non-suicide drownings per year in the UK. So you're twice as likely to drown in a swimming pool or in the ocean in the UK than you are to die of coronavirus if you're under the age of 60. COVID-19 has taken about two-thirds of the lives that British roads do every year, and we wouldn't think of outlawing driving, swimming, or going outside in a storm. It looks increasingly awkward to hear the Prime Minister quoting that forecast from Imperial College that were it not for the lockdown, the UK could have been looking at 500,000 deaths when now, at the tail end of the epidemic, there are only 320,000 deaths worldwide. Neither Sweden nor Japan have locked down, so if the lockdown hypothesis were true, Stockholm would by now be a morgue in Greater Tokyo, population 38 million, a necropolis. And then I mentioned this earlier in the day. The free Swedes have pointed out all along that a lockdown would be much easier to get into than out of. No kidding, says this guy from Britain. We're in an eel trap. We're in an eel trap here in Massachusetts as well. 844-500-4242. Let's see here. Kevin, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Kevin.
How you doing, Howie?
Good.
Yes, I got sick of this lockdown after 8 weeks. My yard could only look so good, so my wife and I had a carpe diem moment. Went down and rented a car, real cheap, out of Manchester Airport, far from the house. And we did a east-to-west drive. It was Niagara Falls last night, pretty empty. Walked around the falls. Now we're in the Notre Dame campus. Just happened to stop by here, and we're going to keep going to Yellowstone, Black Hills, Grand Canyon, and we're going to go all the way to LAX and then fly back and we visit our daughter. So we got sick of it.
The further west you go, you're going to be running into free America.
Well, I think we're already there just about. Oh, yeah. Once we get past Chicago, I told my wife, we have to get past Chicago. And I know Minnesota's got some problems, but once we get into the Dakotas and all that, Wyoming, I can't wait for that. That's going to be real America. It's all opened up. I heard Deadwood's opened up out there in the Black Hills, yeah. Mount Rushmore. But I'll tell you, one good thing I did see today, I told my wife, I've never seen so many trucks on the road. It's like a convoy on I-90, nonstop. Not a lot of cars, but a lot of trucks. So I think with this lockdown slowly becoming unglued and people starting to buy things, I think all these stores and warehouses are starting to stock back up again. That's what I think.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to take as long to get rid of the lockdown that it did to get rid of Prohibition. That took 12 years, you know? I don't think people are going to stand up for this, put up with it, I should say. But that's great. I hope you have a good time, and I think you're making the right decision. Thank you, Kevin. 844-500-4242. Let's see. Where is this article? It's called The Critic. See if we can – the guy says, don't tweet because I don't tweet. What do you want me to say? The headline is, we're all in the big numbers now. And it's in The Critic. That's the name of the publication. So we'll tweet it out for you, and even if you don't tweet, so other people can see it. It's a pretty good story. There's a lot of good stories out there today that I haven't had a chance to get to. We'll get to them tomorrow. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
He's the guru of graft. It's Howie Carr.
This is Mark in Williston, Vermont.
This is Marie in Somerville, Massachusetts.
This is Mike from South Attleboro, Mass. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
We gotta get out of this place. Get this the last thing we ever do.
I identified with that song a lot in the 1960s when I was stuck at MCI Deerfield Academy. Now, if I were in Massachusetts, I would be identifying it with it even more. 978 says, Carr, my husband and I drove down to D.C. to visit our daughter last weekend. A lot of trucks, although many cars speeding excessively, and the cops seem not to pull them over. We live in Massachusetts. You know, there was a story in the Herald today that there are fewer tickets being written, but they're for more excessive speeds. People just get all excited and, you know, put the pedal to the metal because there's not much traffic, or not as much traffic. Incidentally, I know a lot of people have been inquiring about the situation with the bottle bill and the fact that they're still collecting the nickels and dimes, but they're not giving you a chance to redeem the bottles and cans. I finally started making some calls today. I'm not getting a lot of response, shall we say. I really want to find out how much money they have grabbed. And it's the initial press release came from Department of Environmental Protection, DEP. But they say that I'm going to have to talk to the DOR, Department of Revenue, to find out how much money they've stolen. Can you imagine that? They make you pay as a deposit, and then they refuse to give you back the deposit when you return that product that you paid the deposit on. If somebody in the private sector tried this, they'd be calling the Bunko Squad. Or maybe the Securities and Exchange Commission, but it's the state that's doing it. It's okay. And I love it. They say consumers. This is the original press release. Consumers are encouraged to hold on to their deposit containers for redemption at a later date, or to recycle these containers with existing household recycling. In other words, throw them in the trash. That's what they want you to do, is throw them in the trash, because if you throw them in the trash, you'll never get your nickel back. And if you don't get your nickel back, it's not kept by Market Basket or Stop and Shop. It goes to the state. It's called escheatage. It's an obscure medieval legal concept, escheatage. They're cheating us. That's the origin of the word. I'm Howie Carr.